You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 317. Today's Sunday, September 27th, 2015, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt tonight. And guys, in tonight's show, we'll talk about the trade we want back, Touki Toussaint, and a possible reunion with Craig Kimbrell. But first, guys, let's look back on the week and talk about the good and the bad signs we saw. Ham, what'd you see?
Well, I guess to start with the bad sign, I got to say the bad sign is Shelby. I mean, this week, and really the past 8 weeks, 15 weeks maybe, has really, I mean, epitomized Shelby's season. It's, you know, when he's good, he loses. And when he's bad, he loses. And today he was bad. 5 1/3, 7 hits, 7 runs, 4 of them earned. Extend his winless streak to 24 games. And Monday he got the loss too. Although, I mean, that one was, you know, just
He gave up 2 earned, right?
2 runs and 6, right? So he just needs to get out of the season and move on. But, I mean, that was the bad sign. I mean, I think this week really just epitomized for me how horrible it has been for Shelby. And it's not all bad luck. Right, he hasn't been perfect,
right,
a lot of the time.
But
either.
don't you think it's impossible that he's going to win facing the Cardinals in his last opportunity this coming week? Because I do. I just think there's no way.
It certainly feels like that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's so snake bit right now that I don't know. I feel like if there was something magical that he was going to be able to do to turn it around against the Cardinals, he would have done it by now. It's been so dire. So. I agree.
Yep.
You know, for me, the best sign of the week, and I think really one of the more heartening signs of at least the second half, was Freddie's game on Wednesday, where he comes in and he has the double to tie the game or to put us ahead by one, and then he comes in with the homer to win the game. We needed that. I mean, you're playing for so little at this point in the season. It was nice to have something sort of dramatic and heroic like that, and especially against the Mets, you know, sort of the rubber game and again in a meaningless series. But it was an uplifting moment, and I really thought I was not going to be able to be uplifted by the Braves at this point in the season, and it was just awesome, and that was great.
That's the offensive force he needs to be for the team. And he was that night. It was great. I agree.
Yeah. And if he could just stay healthy and do that he could be the difference maker. This season he was not. And, I mean, obviously it was a big load to carry because there was a lot of badness on the Braves. But, you know, I feel like he's not played up to his potential like the past 3 seasons. And you see those games and you're like, this is the guy we need to build around. And it was heartening to see that, something really positive and something heroic, superstar level.
Yeah. Well, I would say 2012, right? I mean, that was like his 5.5 war season. It's been, you know, he's been more like a 3-game war guy since then. But certainly a little down this year.
The past 3 seasons, yeah. I mean, last year he was down and injured a lot. And even the year before, when I think we thought he was coming off of that 5-war season, primed for a bust-out year. And I think since then he's been underwhelming for, you know, in regard or relation to his expectations or ours of him.
Yep. Although, you know, mix that good news with him leaving the game today with his wrist. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him the rest of the season. I mean, long term, it doesn't matter. He just needs to get healthy. He'll have the offseason to do it. But a bummer that we may not have Freddie for a little while. He's going to see the wrist doctor tomorrow.
I bet we don't see him either. And I hope we don't, to be honest.
Yeah.
Why risk it?
I agree.
Why risk it?
Hey.
The season has gotten so bad, we're resorting to puns. Curtis, what do you got? What was the bad?
I figured we'd start with the good, but that's fine.
That's you, the eternal optimist.
It's true. My bad is actually Oliveira, that they are platooning him for the rest of the season and not letting him hit left-handed pitching. I'm just not really sure what the point of that is. What are we saving him for? And why did we give up all these pieces for him if he's going to be platooned? And I understand that this is just the rest of a flaming heap of a season, but Why won't we let him see some left-handed major league pitching?
Well, they're saying because the Braves really want to win the Winter League.
Right. And they really want to make sure that they know what they have in Adonis Garcia. And he had a really good week.
He did. He was one of my good signs.
So there's just continuing to be things that the Braves have done this season that I thought I was done scratching my head.
I mean, isn't the flip side maybe they just want him to experience success, in September here, and not struggle against left-handed pitching and just, feel what it's like to get doubles and home runs and then let him work it out this winter?
I see. Steve, you have that. Sorry, Curtis, I know that question was you, but you've said that a couple of times. I think at the major league, that type of thing of like, let's sort of game it to them where we set them up for the best situation. This is not kids like youth soccer. These guys are professionals. And I don't mean that, but I totally understand the logic, but I don't think that works at this level. You think the guys are like, wow, I'm really good. I'm only playing half the games, but man, I'm awesome. I don't buy that.
Okay.
And he's also 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
And I think I'm with you, Kurt. An everyday player needs to be able to hit pitchers from both sides of the mound.
He's definitely going to be an everyday player next year.
But then to your point, why?
Right. He's just going to be an everyday player that can't hit left-handed pitching.
All right, Kurt, what was your good?
Some good starts from the pitchers. Williams Perez had a nice start. Matt Whistler had a good bounce back start. I guess it's actually he had a better start and a good start last week too. So that was good to see. Tehran had two good starts. Of course, he went 0-1 in his two good starts because the Braves suck. And really, my favorite part of the week was the Nationals officially being eliminated and Bryce Harper and Jonathan Papelbon getting in a fight in their dugout. So
yeah.
The fight is so good. I can't imagine by the time you're listening to this that you haven't seen that footage. But if you haven't, I strongly urge you to go find it because it is just the best.
Do you think some of their teammates like stood back and egged them on?
No. And frankly, they immediately got in the middle of it. I have no idea what the team thinks about Harper, but I would not be surprised if the team doesn't like Papelbon. What a miserable SOB he seems to be. He comes in and Drew Storen was a popular guy and he messes up that whole thing. And, his demand to be the ninth inning pitcher in the trade stuff. I just can't believe that anyone's siding with Papelbon on it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
The icing on the cake was then after this fight that he went out and got just destroyed, just shelled by the Phillies. That was so wonderful as well.
It would be nice to continue it when they come to town this week.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Nationals are really rooting for Bryce Harper to tear up his shoulder or something in a fight with Jonathan. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Although it is weird to actually find yourself in a situation where you're rooting for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, and he's the good guy.
He is. I mean, he seems like it. I mean, certainly the odds are in his favor if it's him versus Papelbon.
Exactly. Yeah, so I would add to, unfortunately, Weber took a step back. Amazing. He's had beautiful movement on his pitches. He's looked really good. Everything was just flat. He was just getting killed. So he took a step back. The starting pitching was quite good. Olivera hit .350 with a double and a home run. Barawa, however you pronounce his name, he had three appearances, no runs. So there were a couple good things this week.
Markakis, anytime he gets a homer, it's a good sign.
Yeah, that's right. Markakis' third home run of the season.
Yeah.
I missed his second somehow. I totally forgot that. I was like, his second home run. My son corrected me. All right, guys. So looking back on the year, the remake that we've experienced here, if you could have one move back that Hart and Copy made this past year, which would it be? Curtis?
Hamilton spent a lot of time talking about this guy, and he was a big part of this trade. I think I would take the Hayward trade back. I know that I probably more than anyone on this show dumped on Hayward the entire time he was here. And still, it was not as if Hayward had the greatest season of any human being ever this year. But he did end up, or will end up, with the third highest WAR for any National League player 25 and younger this year, behind Bryce Harper and Anthony Rizzo, just barely behind Anthony Rizzo. He slashed 287, 382, 430 up to this point. He's hit 12 home runs, which has not really gotten back to where you figure he will be, which is, I think, a 25-homer guy. But he hit 32 doubles, which is a career high. He stole 23 bases, which is a career high. His defensive WAR is obviously still very high, and he's only 25 years old. So it looks like we have some pitchers, and I worry that this Shelby Miller thing, that maybe this doesn't shake off. And not suggesting that he's been a bad pitcher, because he's not, but there's bad luck involved with having a streak like this, and he's gotten every conceivable bit of bad luck he possibly could, and you worry that it's just one of those cursed things, that it never works out. Jenkins might prove to be a great pitcher down the road for us, but Hayward is only 25 years old, and we have no offensive pieces to find anywhere that are of his caliber and of his age in this lineup. And you think about if Oliveira can become an offensive threat in this lineup that you could have had, and if Freddie can stay healthy and become the offensive player again that he was a couple of years ago, that you could have had Hayward, and you could have had Freddie, and you could add Oliveira right in the middle of the heart of the lineup, and what a different offensive team we would be. So
I just have trouble believing. I really think Hayward was a change of scenery guy.
Yeah, and that might be the case. So totally. But I mean, all things considered, and you know, I mean, obviously that the contract situation is going to be one that the Braves claim that they wouldn't been able to afford either. But I just think that as gifted as Hayward is, and could potentially be even more so, that you just he's only 25 years old. I mean, they don't have any pieces even close to the level of a player that he is across the board in anywhere in their organization.
Yeah, well, that is true. All right, Hammy, how about you?
So I agree with Curtis. That was a big one. You know, I mean, first of all, I don't think, unfortunately, I wish there was one move that if we were able to rewind, it would have a marked difference on the outcome of this season. I don't think there was. I think this train was headed where it was going no matter what. You know, for me, in hindsight, I wish we hadn't traded Chris Johnson. Which I can't
believe I'm saying,
because we just basically swapped one bad contract for two bad contracts. And now we've got Swisher and Bourne on the books next season, which I don't want. Right. And it's just, it's two people taking up contracts and slots where we need to start rebuilding immediately. I would just assume eat both of those contracts, and I think it would be easier to eat Johnson's contract instead of both Bourne and Swisher's contracts. So, you know, I don't,
Remember, Hammy, that Bourne and Swisher are off the books after next year. Chris Johnson would have been on
one
the
more
books
year and a team option year. On 18. I know, but I think it's still two slots next year where we need to start be putting pieces in place. I mean, we're 2 to 3 years away from, we talked about this last week, having an identity or from winning, and we need to build an identity first. And those are two guys who are not part of the long term answer. And I just think they're two guys taking, you know, very pricey guys taking up slots in this lineup that we need to start rebuilding. And I think Johnson is just two bad contracts versus one just next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think you're crazy.
Thank you.
I love when Steve does the, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, that sucked.
Let me be dismissive of you.
Okay. Please do.
So I would go with the Wood. I'd go with the Wood-Peraza for Oliveira trade. It may work out great, right? Oliveira may be everything that John Hart thinks he's going to be, and Wood may get injured next year or the year after, like clearly was part of the calculation that they had in all this. But it just feels like starting pitching was such a, I should say mature starting pitching was such a need for this team, and is such a need for this team, to get rid of him. You'd still have a really good trade piece in the offseason in Peraza, given how highly touted he was. I don't know, it just seemed like it was Hart's big overreach of all the moves he made. And I'm really a fan of almost all of them. But this one felt arrogant and overreaching to me. Hammy, I know you can't agree with me just on principle now. But Kurt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of that trade when it happened. So, and to go back to my point that Oliveira is platooning right now, that guy really has to break out. That guy really, really has to be a good player.
He does, no doubt.
Yeah. For that to have any, and I don't care what happens with Wood or with Peraza, frankly, going forward. I mean, you just didn't get a lot in return on that trade, and he really has to be everything that they are claiming that he is going to be for that trade to be a win for us.
You know, Wood's going to be the third pitcher in the playoff rotation for the Dodgers. I read that today. So, you know, good for him. I'm happy for him. I'm sure he's excited, but
I think I think two things. One is they were so after Oliveira when they lost out for him that I think they didn't really pay attention to how he was progressing.
Well, he did well in the Dodgers farm system. I mean, he had good numbers in the Dodgers farm system. I just think it was a lot to give away for him.
Yeah, but we had a lot of pitching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not competing next year. We don't need veteran pitching right now. For what? Why? Why do we need veteran pitching right now?
Well, but a young guy who's pretty well established in Wood would look pretty good next year and make me feel better about our chances. I mean, Shelby, Tehran, Wood, Whistler is a nice start. It just is.
Yeah, and you're not having to rely on Mike Minor. It's who knows what's coming back with him.
Exactly. All right, guys, staying on the topic of trades, let's check in on the season that one of our top-rated minor leaguers had, who was acquired this year, pitcher Touki Toussaint. And really, we're only talking about him because I like to say his name so much. No. So the Braves acquired Toussaint and Bronson Arroyo for Phil Gosselin in mid-June. Toussaint was the 16th overall pick in 2014, and he was rated like between 8 and 13 prior to the draft. So he pitched in 10 games for Single-A Rome after being acquired. In his time in Rome, he posted a 5.73 ERA and a 1.5 WHIP. So, Ham, your thoughts on Touki?
I think he gives us great options on both fronts. So one on the trade front, like I think he's our fourth best prospect now or something. And I think
I saw third somewhere, but yeah.
God, you just have to disagree with me.
No, I have to correct you.
You do. And make it one better. Always one better. I think that, you know, in this, the pursuit that is forthcoming for that bat or those bats and those pieces in the outfield, he is a very valuable chip. And I think packaging him or even making him the sort of cornerstone of a deal is great. It gives us a lot of leverage. I'm not convinced that we have our rotation of the future set in stone yet, right? I mean, Whistler, you mentioned, is good. It's interesting. I wonder if we would revisit our Perez conversation from a couple of weeks ago when we said he would not start again. I said he would, but you guys ruinously would not start again. And he's done well since then. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if our opinion has changed. But we do not have, I keep using this word, that identity of a rotation of the future. So Toussaint might be that guy, right? He might be a critical piece of it when he comes up. And, you know, we have Shelby through, I think it's 2019, 3 years, Tehran through 20. So I know that feels like a while.
Right.
But,
Toussaint's only 19.
He's only 3 years away. You know, when those guys are up for a contract extension, it may be nice to have him ready to go and ready to take over as sort of a top of the rotation starter. So I think he gives us a lot of options, and I'm of course glad that we have him on our team.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute steal, the trade. I mean, they just robbed the Diamondbacks blind. I still don't understand the trade. And he may never have more value than he does this offseason.
It's so true.
I mean, first round pick, 19 years old.
Recently, right? Six innings, no hits. He threw a couple days ago. He's striking out
seven per nine. You know, I mean, there's a lot. You just look at the potential, and you could probably get a lot for him. All right, guys. So time for fair or foul, where I throw something out there. You agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So John Heyman of CBS Sports, he wrote this week that a reunion of the Braves and Craig Kimbrell is not out of the question. So, Curtis, fair or foul, you're in favor of this?
Well, statistically, this was his worst season by far. His ERA is up a full run from last year. His lowest number of saves he's ever had. So not that he's not still great, but with closers, closers obviously have a pretty finite number of years in their arm that they can go out there and continue to achieve at the top of their game. I mean, he gave up more home runs than he's ever gotten. He's had fewer strikeouts, and this is obviously probably ties to the fact that he didn't have as many opportunities. But you never know if this is the beginning of the end. His FIP was up almost a full run. So I don't know what you're going to have to give up to get Craig Kimball back on the team. I would imagine that the Padres are not going to get a lot back for him, because I think they're going to be kind of desperate to dump some of these big salary guys that they have. But Vizcaíno, what are you going to do with him? Is he going to be your setup guy?
Yeah, he certainly would be. Yeah,
I mean, not that that wouldn't be great, but I just don't know that Craig Kimbrell is worth giving up a bunch of pieces to try and get back on the team when Vizcaíno has pitched so well as our closer, as he has.
Yeah.
So foul.
Hammy, how about you?
Yeah, I'm with Curtis. I mean, I love Kimbrell, but I think he would be wasted on us next year and even the year after, you know, since I hate the Braves already next year.
And I
don't want to spend the money on him or what we'd have to give up to get him back on the team. I think it would just be wasted. I mean, maybe 2 years from now, he's good, and it'd be like to have him back, but not next year.
Yeah, so to me, you look and see how he does next year. I agree. The money we'd spend and the prospects we'd give up to get him wouldn't make sense for next year. But for 17, moving into the new stadium, it'd be the final year on his contract, and then he'd have that option for 18, $13 million a year. You know, for 2 years for that money, if you look at the team and you feel like, God, that, you know, if we really just shored up the bullpen, we'd have something, I could see it then. So I'm fair, but, you know, next offseason. All right, Hammy, staying with this John Heyman column, he wrote that while the Braves are listening on just about everyone, one guy that's not going anywhere is Freddie Freeman. So fair or foul, Ham, you think Freddie Freeman should be untouchable?
So I mentioned this at the top of the show in the good signs, that Freddie is the identity of this team, right? Maybe Angelton, but Angelton he's a defensive wizard. He's not a super duper star, right? He's a very skilled defensive. He's a super defender. Freddie is our only superstar. And I feel like if you lose him, you're not rebuilding around anything. And I think he does have that ability to be that 5-6 war player when he's healthy. So, you know, for the most part, I feel like he should be untouchable unless you get some sort of a Mark Teixeira type offer, right? Which I don't think you do with Freddie. He's not that type of player. He's not, you know, he's not as hot as Teixeira was when we destroyed our team to get him.
Memories.
I know, it's so good. I know Kurt just is crying a little bit when I bring that up. But I'd say fair. I mean, I think if there was that Godfather offer, the Herschel Walker offer, and we were going to get a lot, I'd give up anybody. But for the most part, I think he should be untouchable. He's our cornerstone.
Curtis, how about you?
Well, and Ham covered a lot of this before when he was talking about Freeman. I just, for what he is supposed to be to this team, and I'm basing this solely on how much we're going to be paying him, which in 2 years from now, he's basically going to be paid $20 million a year for about 5 years. So that's like Mike Trout money. That's Albert Pujols money. That's insert superstar player here name.
McCutcheon.
Player. And he's not performing at that level. The injuries aside, and hopefully this is not some indication of something going forward, because he played in 162 games last year, but he only played in 112 games this year. He's got this wrist issue. He's had some thumb issues. His numbers are all down this year. He needs to be the guy that he was in 2013. And the Braves have to have that guy. They can't have a guy who was the anchor of their lineup, who only bats .281 and only hits 18 home runs. And I know that that, in comparison to the other guys in this lineup, is staggering, but he needs to be hitting .320. He needs to hit 25, 28 home runs. He needs over 100 RBI. I mean, these things have to happen from him to merit $20 million a year. And I'm sorry that that's what this is tied to, but that's the way he's being paid, is to perform on that level. So I hope this is not a sign of that his career is going to start. I mean, he's only 25 himself. So hopefully this is not that he's peaked already, but we need that guy back. And if we can get something big for him, I would not turn it down.
Yeah, I think that the average annual salary across the 8 years is something like 16.8 or 17 million. Obviously, it's backloaded. And I think that each win above replacement is valued at like 5 to 6 million a year. So, you know, for the money, right, if he continues to be a 3 to 4 war guy, the money is sort of where it should be. But Kurt, I'm with you. He, to me, is like a top of the tier two guys guy, but he's not a tier one guy. He's not a superstar. So to me, he's got to be, you know, considered if that great offer, Hammy, that Godfather offer comes. To me, you listen to it. That said, I really have no issue. I think that Freddie's great. I do think he's kind of the heart of the team. Building around him is great. But frankly, I would make Tehran untouchable before I would make Freddie untouchable. Just
really?
To have that up the middle defense. I know he's, you know, the bat leaves something to be desired. But to have that stout defense up the middle is so key.
You mean Simmons or Tehran?
What did I say? Did
you
I say
just said Tehran?
Yeah, I meant Simmons.
Ham was just waiting to jump you.
Oh, I know. Does that feel good, Ham? I served that right up for you.
You did. Thank you.
Yeah, Simmons.
But yeah, I want Freddie Freeman to be Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah. Me too. Wouldn't that be exciting? All right, guys. Next up is Shot in the Dark, our prediction for the coming week. And we'll start with our listener pick for Shot in the Dark. It was from Facebook follower Guy Strauss. And his prediction was that in half the at-bats, Adonis Garcia would have twice as many RBI as Hector Olivera. Garcia had 11 at-bats and 4 RBI. Olivera had 17 at-bats and 4 RBI.
Mm.
Yeah. So, nice try, Guy. I didn't mean to rhyme with your name. All right. So, folks, this week is the final chance to submit a Shot in the Dark for the regular season. So, submit them on Twitter or Facebook before first pitch on Tuesday. The Braves are off on Monday. So before first pitch on Tuesday, we will pick one, track it, and discuss it on next week's show. All right, guys, before we get to our predictions for this week, we'll check in on how we did last week. So, Kurt, you predicted that Daniel Castro would hit over 300 with over 7 hits. He hit 167 and 2 hits. Yeah, for real. Ham, you predicted... Okay, let me take a breath.
I got it wrong. Just don't even.
You predicted the Mets would outscore the Braves by the same number of runs that the Braves would outscore the Marlins. Is that right?
That's it.
Okay.
Well said.
Thank you. So the Braves outscored the Mets, actually, by 3, 12-9, while the Marlins outscored the Braves by 9, 27-18. So...
No.
Not close on that one. And I predicted that Shelby would finally get his win on Sunday in Miami. He did not. So, guys, no winners again. Ham and Kurt, you two remain tied at 1 for the month of September. I'm at 0. We'll continue through next week to crown a champion for September.
Mm.
All right, Curtis, what do you got for this coming week?
Well, perhaps this is a reverse jinx, or perhaps this is just accepting reality, and this might be a total cream puff, but Shelby Miller does not win this week.
Yeah, I'd say Kurt is just trying to win the Shot in the Dark competition.
Yes, seriously. I bet the Braves play 6 games this week.
Easy.
Hammy, how about you?
I'm backing Olivera. I think he has 2 homers and 2 doubles this week.
All right, Ham, I'm in that same vein. I say that Olivera hits his first grand slam this week.
Mm.
I know. All right, so guys, let's take a look at our win-loss predictions that we made last week and look ahead to the final week of the season. So for this 2-4 week, Hammy and I were at 3-3. Kurt was at 1-5. So, of course, as the Braves can only muster 2 wins against the NL East champs, the Mets. Congratulations to the Mets. So we were all wrong there. I am excited for the Mets, though. Like, it wasn't going to be us.
And much better than it being the Nats. As
much better than
it
all being
agree
the Nats.
On.
Really, anyone but the Nats.
Exactly.
Yeah, so true.
All right, so guys, let's look at the matchups for this week's games. The final six of the year, they're all at home. Three against the Nats, three against the Cardinals. For the National Series, it's Whistler, Scherzer, and his 2.98 ERA. But he has come back to earth the last couple of months. Perez versus Zimmerman, who's been getting knocked around. He has a 3.68 ERA. And then finally, Weber versus Strasburg and his 3.63 ERA. But Strasburg's been very good since he returned from the DL. On to the card series, it will be Tehran versus Jaime Garcia and his 2.36 ERA. Shelby goes up against John Lackey and his 2.69 ERA, just to help Kurt a little more. And then the last game of the season, it will be Matt Whistler versus Lance Lynn and his 3.16 ERA. God, the Cardinals have some pitching.
They really do.
All right, Hammy, what do you predict?
2-4, 2-1, 0-3. Because I think the Cards are going to still be having to win games. I feel like they're feeling the pressure from the Bucks, so they're gonna turn it on and destroy us.
All right, I'll go 3-3. I say we take two from the Nats and one from the Cards. Curtis, how about you?
1-2, 0-3 for a 1-5 final week.
Lovely. You know, one thing I saw that I forgot to mention, I jotted this down. So, you know, we just finished our time on the road with today's game in Miami. So the Braves finished with a 25-56 road record. Their worst since 1977.
Sweet.
Shout out to Kevin McAlpin on that. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that is the show. Everyone, please make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.